Good morning and welcome back to Nach Yomi. Today, we are going to be focusing on Shir HaShirim, Perek Vav, the sixth chapter of the book of Shir HaShirim. Our Perek is short, it only has 12 psukim, and it's basically divided into two main sections. The first little section is the first three psukim, and is essentially really the continuation of Perek Hay. Remember that the division of the prakim, of the chapters, was not a Jewish introduction, so whoever divided the chapters clearly missed the perspective and the of this theme, but nonetheless, they really belong at the end of the previous chapter. The pshat, what is basically going on over here, is after we heard the story of how the dod, the male, comes to visit, Hashem comes to visit the raya, she does not take the opportunity of the moment, and he leaves, she searches for him, she gets beaten up, and she keeps searching, and she describes how her dod is so special to her, to the daughters of Yerushalayim. So this perek begins with a continuation of that dialogue, and after this all occurs, the daughters of Yerushalayim turn to her and says, "Ana halachta deich hayofa banashim, such a beautiful lady, where has your beloved gone? Ana panada deich, to whom has he turned? And vakshenu imach, that we could search for him with you." But the raya seems confident that she herself knows where he is, and she tells them that he's entered the garden. Dodi yoradaganoi la ruga saboisim liroes ba ganim lil kot ba shoshanim. He's trying to find the roses in the garden, and she affirms the end. Ani le dodi v'dodi li hara'e ba shoshanim. I am for my beloved. My beloved is committed, and is for me. Historically speaking, what's going on over here? Rashi explains that we're describing a specific stage in Jewish history. We're talking about the end of Golus, the end of exile. We're talking about when the nation of Israel was allowed to return from Babylon to the land of Israel under the auspices of Persia. Cyrus the Great gave the license for the nation of Israel to return to the land of Judea and to recultivate the Beis HaMikdash and their settlement there, beginning the Second Commonwealth. But when they got there, the local inhabitants, who themselves were actually foreigners, who had just moved there as part of the Assyrian and later Babylonian exile, became leery of these Jews returning and said, you know, we are actually the inhabitants here. We deserve to be part of your project of this old temple. We'll make the temple with for our gods and yours. And the Jews at that point said to them, no, thank you. Thank you, but no, thank you. We will do our own temple. And they started complaining to Cyrus the Great. And ultimately, the Beis HaMikdash was stopped in its tracks for a number of years until a little bit later. So this is what it's referring to. So we're describing a stage where ultimately they do return. And the nations of the world are saying, where did your dod go? They're asking, how special is it that you have your dod? And we're affirming that, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is in his garden. HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is still in the place of the Shekhinah. This is the way that Rashi understands it. Of course, this should be a direct parallel today where the nation of Israel turns to the land of Israel and those who, in fact, were very much foreigners on the most account, claim to be citizens of the land itself, and the questions that surround the chosenness of the nation of Israel. Ana halach dadeich, where did your beloved one actually go? What does it mean that he is searching among the roses? How is that the response to what the nations of the world claim against Israel? So the Metzudas David points out, the nations are criticizing her and saying, you know, this beloved one of yours, he has abandoned you long ago. You missed the opportunity. You're the downtrodden brother. Let's understand your role in history. And the response, she says, is no, he's collecting the roses, which means that he is found in the Mikdash Ma'at. Yes, the Mikdash may no longer be, or may be inaccessible, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is found in the Mikdash Ma'at. He's in the small little roses here and there, between all the thorns, between all the brambles, between all the in all the darkness of the forest, he is found in the roses here and there. Understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu may not be overtly expressed, but my beloved is there finding those roses. Kabbalistically speaking, just to dig this a little deeper, the Chida points out that this is the notion of Hashem removing the tzaddikim. When he removes the tzaddikim, it enters into, quoting the Arizal, this is a notion of what he calls levush. Levush is in fact the Rosh Etevos, the acronym for Lirois Baganim V'Lilkot B'Shashanim, Lilkot Shashanim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, by taking the roses, creates a protection for that generation, which is when a tzaddik leaves, that's a moment for that generation to do teshuvah, as that is in fact a protective measure. Sometimes they're taken for the sins of that generation. That refers to the way that the Raya is explaining what the Dod is doing. Throughout Jewish history, in the long and complicated Golos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is protecting the generation through those who are the tzaddikim. This is quoted by a number of the Kabbalistic Mepharshim, the Tzohar Ma'or, and the Al-Sheikh as well. Of course, in this in Pasuk Gimel, we have the famous statement, which is Anila Dodiva Dodili, I am for my beloved is for me. This is spoken by the Raya, the young lady. And what's interesting about it, of course, is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings in Simen Kuf Chav Ches. This is one of the four expressions of the acronym of the word Elul, Elul, the month of the year, which is leading up to Rosh Hashanah. And what does that mean? What's the understanding of this? So the Likutei Maharan, Rabbi Nachman of Breslov in Torah Vav, Halacha Dalet, he says a very interesting thing. He says that when a person wants to do teshuva, he needs to be baki, he needs to be proficient in what he calls Ratzava Shov, running and returning, running and returning. That means to say that a person needs to be able to both go and return. A person needs to be able to be proactive and passive in a relationship. A person needs to know their place when it's time to be active and time when it's time to be passive in the relationship, certainly with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what's being said over here. And he says, "Vizeh soed kavanos elo." That's what it means in these psukim, Anila Dodiva Dodili, is that a person, the nation of Israel, or every neshama needs to understand their place in a larger scheme, their understanding of when they need to be making the effort to take the first steps, and when they need to be waiting for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and understanding Hashem's role in that relationship as well. That's the Anila Dodiva Dodili, which is going to be, of course, very connected to Elul itself. Let's go into the next section of the Perek, which is the main part of the Perek, which is Psukim Dalad to Yud Beis. This is a song about the uniqueness of the Raya. So at this point in time, the Raya has been searching for her dod. She is sure, she has in fact vindicated herself that she will find her dod, even though it doesn't look like he's looking for her, but she is sure that she is, and she has therefore recommitted herself even in his absence. At this point, the dod now speaks. So this is Hashem speaking, and he is saying, he describes in the Psukim, really essentially Dalad to Par Pasuk, Tes or Yud, he describes her in these beautiful, beautiful descriptions. Very flowery, very picturesque descriptions of his Raya. And Pasuk Yud seems to be a little bit on the bridge. It's Mizois Hanishkofa, Hanishkofa Komo Shacha Yofer Kalavona Baraka Chamo Ayuma Kanit Golois. It's a this is a description of her in this sort of this luminescent. She's terrifying. She's beautiful. She's shining like the moon and the sun. Very powerful description. Seems like it might be the song that other people sing about her. And the last two psukim, Yud Aleph to Yud Beis, are either a response that she makes or a continuation of his description of her. Why is this happening now? So it seems, as the Mitzvah David points out, that once Hashem sees that even in the darkest of places, when people criticize and mock the nation of Israel and say to her, "Wait, where is your beloved gone? Why are you still mourning after him?" And we recommit ourselves to him, even in his absence, in the darkness of the night of Galus, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu reaffirms his connection to us because of our unwavering commitment to him. It should be noted that there is a very long and beautiful description of Hashem describing the beauty of Israel in Perek Dalad. This is a little different. That seems to be at the chuppah ceremony. That's at the beginning of the relationship. This seems to be in the relationship where it's more complex. It's way after the honeymoon. It's now when there's complexity and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still describing that connection. Historically speaking, this section seems to be said in Galus, in exile, where things are not so simple. In fact, the Tzror HaMor points out that this is Hashem's response. He says, "V'amaloi loy tis ya'ashi, don't give up hope. Ki sofeich liyos yofeh, you're going to be beautiful in the end. V'zeh amroi yofeh atra yosiva." This is how he says you are so beautiful. Meaning to say, it will be beautiful, not right now necessarily, but you will be beautiful in the end. Interestingly enough, in the Drash is a section at the back of Seder Nezikin called Masechtos Ketanos, very small Masechtos, less commonly known. And there's one Masechta called Maseches Tefillin, made up of one perikin in the 21st chapter of the 21st paragraph of the first chapter. It describes how HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at Bnei Yisrael and says, "Kach Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Bonai Havim Mesukonim Ukushotim Lefonai B'mitzvahs." If you are willing to don yourself in mitzvahs, if you're willing to commit yourself to the commandments, even at times when it doesn't seem like those commandments work, and the moral relativism of society is saying, why do you need higher authority? What is authority? And the whole of society is questioning why it is that we're sticking to these arcane ideas. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, when you are mekushat, when you are wearing these beautiful mitzvahs, Amru Lai, Miplei Ma, Amar Lahem, Kedei Sheiyu Ratzuyim, so you should be beautiful in front of me. Shenemar Yafe At Yofeh at Rayosi Ketir Tsa, Yofeh at Keshetahei Ritzuyobim Mitzvahs. When are you beautiful to me, Ketir Tsa? That's the Pasuk at the beginning of the section in Pasuk Yod, is when you act with Ritzuyah, when you act with the Mitzvahs. So it's our imperative to create that relationship. Coming back to Rabbi Nachman's idea of Ratzav Hashav, this is when you take the first step, the Anila Dodi section in this over here. What are the last two lines? The last two lines seem a little bit enigmatic. They seem to be her talking or him talking, it's not clear. El Ginase Goz Yaradzi, I went to the garden of the nut. the nuts, where the nuts are growing. Liros be'ibei anochal, to see when those growing along the riverbanks. Liros hafarcha agef and anetzu arimonim, have the trees sprouted. Lo yodati nafshi somasni, markavos aminin adiv. What's going on over here? What's this? These last two lines? So the Mitzuras points out this is a continuation of his song, where he says that she is irreplaceable, that even if though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is separated from the nation of Israel, and they separated themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he goes to the places that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cultured with us, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created with us, and he looks forlorn and remembering, reminiscing of the good times that the nation of Israel had when they were listening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he's reminiscing over here. Those all the good times that were lost. Rashi actually pins it to the historical moment of the return to the second Beis HaMikdash under the Persians, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes down and he sees in the second Beis HaMikdash, did they make it a place of Torah? Did they make it a place of learning Torah like it was in the first? Were they willing to inject into it the spiritual nature? Or was this simply a political move? And Israel responds, I didn't know. Lo yodati nafshi somasni. I didn't really know. And that's why perhaps I made the mistake, says the Knesset Israel, of going into devolving into sinas chinam, sectarianism, and ultimately the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. This is a description of the complexity of a return, of trying to rebroach a relationship which was lost, and the complications therein. This is Perek Vav, God willing. We will continue Perek Zayin tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.